have any announcements, so we're going to get started with Eve. Oh, the one thing I do want to say is Eve's going to be talking about naughty words, so if your ears are going to burn, you may want to step outside for a little while if you're not used to expletives. Just say. Eve Siebert.
Thank you.
Just waiting for my slide to come up.
Okay, it's not going to.
Yay.
Of course, my alternate title is What the Fuck? Anyway, we tend to call words that are deemed inappropriate or inoffensive four-letter words, sometimes four-letter Anglo-Saxon words. These words usually refer to acts of sexual congress, bodily functions of elimination, and the body parts involved in sexual congress and elimination. Most of them are fairly short words, especially compared to the more acceptable alternatives, and many of them are indeed four letters. We often assume that these words are of Old English or Anglo-Saxon derivation, and that they were perfectly acceptable until replaced by euphemisms and or Greek or Latinate words, which somehow sound more classy than Anglo-Saxon words. Some four-letter words are indeed of Anglo-Saxon origin, including turd, arse, and fart, although fart is only attested in the form of ferting, which is farting, and is only recorded once as a gloss for the Latin word pedatio. It is also true that these words were often used unashamedly. The first example of the verb to fart comes from the 13th century poem Summer is a Comin' In, or the Cuckoo Song. Among the signs of impending summer is the behavior of animals. Ewe bleats after lamb, cow lows after calf, bullock jumps, buck farts, merrily sing cuckoo. By the way, the music for the song actually survives too, so you can go home and find it on the internet and hear the song about bucks farting. Anyway, turd, in addition to being a common word for dung, both in Old and Middle English, appearing, for instance, in Wycliffe's translation of the Bible, was also used as a name, as in Thomas Turd. I know, what a proud man he was. And was also used to indicate something worthless. So, for instance, in the Canterbury Tales, when Chaucer's pilgrim alter ego launches into a spectacularly terrible verse romance, which, by the way, is very similar to the tale of Sir Robin from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I think Chaucer stole it from them. Anyway, Harry Bailey, the master of ceremonies, cuts him off and says the tale is not worth a turd, which is funny because it's Chaucer, and he's telling the tale, and it really sucks, and he's a bad poet, it turns out. Anyway, not all four-letter words are of Anglo-Saxon derivation, however, and not all were considered acceptable always. So let us look for a moment at the list of seven words that cannot be said on television compiled by George Carlin. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. I got to say that at Skeptic Camp. And your eyes. They're right there. I'm not going to really discuss the two compounds, because while both cock and suck do come from Old English, individually they're inoffensive, so I could go on national television and say, suck it, Denver, for instance. And the word cock wasn't used to mean penis until the 17th century. Cocksucker only appeared in the 19th century. And motherfucker, frankly, is a bit of a cheat because it incorporates one of the other words. You know, you could go on television, you still couldn't say spouse fucker, even though that activity is considered perfectly acceptable. So I'll concentrate on the other words. Tit is Anglo-Saxon. It's not four letters, though, when it's singular. It's a variant of teat, or more accurately, teat is a variant of tit, since tit seems to be the earlier form. Although tit could refer to the whole human breast in Middle English, as well as the nipple or the tip of an udder, It was only after teat had become standardized and used primarily for animals that tits became used as a naughty slang for women's breasts. According to the OED, the first instance is from 1928, and it's American, so yay us. Piss is French. Variations on piss appear in many Romance and Germanic languages, as well as Welsh, apparently. Ultimately, its origin is probably imitative or onomatopoetic, but it did enter Middle English by way of Norman French, pisser. Of course, that was much nicer in French. Shit does best fit our understanding of a four-letter Anglo-Saxon word. The words beschitten, meaning befouled, shittle, meaning purgative, and shitta, meaning originally diarrhea, are all attested in Old English. As with turd, it was used casually and sometimes clinically and without a suggestion of impropriety. Chaucer used it. Wycliffe used it. London's Sherborne Lane used to be known as Shitborough Lane, apparently because it was the proud owner of a privy. Interestingly, the 13th century poem The Owl and the Nightingale uses the word shit word, which apparently means dirty language or insulting, abusive language, or dirty language used to be insulting or abusive. So the idea of dirty words isn't new. Speaking of dirty words, looking at our list, I see the two we have left are the worst of all, fuck and cunt. The etymology of fuck is cloaked in mystery and the subject to enthusiastic debate. Fuck enthusiasts. possibly because it was always considered improper. There are some Old and Middle English personal names and place names that seem to incorporate the word fuck, such as windfuck, fuckbeggar, which I enjoy fuckbeggar, and John LaFucker. John LaFucker. I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up, but someone might have made it up because no one's been able to find the manuscript it comes from, apparently. But the connection between these and our word fuck is highly dubious. I think it's been suggested that John LaFucker could be a variant of fulcher, which would mean soldier, for instance. So they might not be as fun as they sound like they are, those names. Fuck is not included in the Dictionary of Old English, or the Middle English Dictionary, the MED, or the Oxford English Dictionary, the OED. The Oxford English Dictionary casts serious doubt on the relevance of these names. There are apparent cognates in other Germanic languages, such as Dutch fucken, regional Norwegian fucka, and regional Swedish fucka. All these words mean to strike as well as to copulate. The German word ficken, meaning to rub, to strike, or to have sexual intercourse, is often cited as a possible source for fuck. The French verb foudre, which is equivalent to fuck, yeah, my French pronunciation sucks, sorry, may also be related. As the OED points out, however, quote, the exact nature of any relationship is unclear, end quote. And there are no definite instances of any of the Germanic words being used to copulate until the late 15th century. There are some urban legends concerning the origin of fuck, and most of these involve acronyms. And if you look at Snopes.com, there's a very thorough thing on the acronyms for fuck. But among the explanations, for some reason, God knows why, people needed permission from the crown to have sex. It's like after the plague, or I don't know. So they needed to obtain a placard that would be like they'd have put up in their window that says, fornication under consent of king. Or signs were placed outside closed brothels that said, forbidden under charter of king. Or adulterers were arrested for unlawful carnal knowledge or for owning a Van Halen album. Or possibly for unlawful carnal knowledge in the nude. And so they would have fuck or fucking placed above them on the stocks. Yeah. So few, if any, words that derive from acronyms are actually earlier than the 20th century. So while fuck may not be Anglo-Saxon, it is much older than that, obviously. And the fact that it has cognates in other languages, again, suggests that it couldn't have come from an acronym. The earliest accepted use of fuck in English is cryptic in the extreme. It appears in a poem in the 15th century British Library manuscript Harley 3362. The poem, which satirizes Carmelite friars from Cambridge, is macaronic, meaning it's in more than one language. Much better. And there it is. Exactly. The first half of the line is in Latin, recognizably. The second half appears to be gibberish, but it's actually English disguised by a substitution cipher. So if you take the gibberish and substitute the previous letter in the alphabet, what you get is that. The first five words, again, Latin, non sunt in caelicia, they are not in heaven because. Fuckant is English fuck, but treated as a Latin verb. Then vivus of heli, which, and you'll just kind of have to trust me on this, but it means wives or women of Ely. So all put together, what you've got is, they are not in heaven because they fuck women of Ely.
Is that the only part of it?
I don't know. But that apparently that'll do it. So now, it's not clear whether the poet went to such great lengths to disguise his message because he was accusing churchmen, and specific churchmen from a specific priory, of wrongdoing, or if it was the taboo associated with the word that also was a factor. Regardless, fuck really was never an acceptable word. Although Chaucer frequently used the word swive to refer to sexual intercourse, he never used fuck. Nor did Shakespeare, although he may have punned on it. In Merry Wives of Windsor, there's a Welsh schoolmaster who has a apparently very inaccurate accent, but humorous. And he quizzes his student on the declension of the Latin demonstrative adjective hic, haec, hoc. He gets to the vocative case. He pronounces the word vocative, vocative. And that causes Mistress Quickly some mirth, as does the genitive case, which also has the word whorum in it. So he's a fun, Shakespeare, funny guy. Sometimes, really. Other poets have been more bold. In the 17th century, John Wilmot, the Earl of Rochester, included the following couplet in one of his poems. Much wine had passed with grave discourse of who fucks who and who does worse. For centuries, most dictionaries avoided the word. Samuel Johnson's dictionary didn't include it, for instance. According to the OED, quote, the first modern dictionary of general English to use the word, or to, in, sorry, I'll start again. The first modern dictionary of general English used to include an entry for the verb fuck was G.N. Garman's Way's Penguin Dictionary of English of 1965. Which was 5 years after Penguin was unsuccessfully prosecuted for its edition of D.H. Lawrence's novel Lady Chatterley's Lover, and of course that prosecution was over the verb, wait for it, fuck. Now our final dirty word is cunt, and that's the one that actually got me interested in the etymologies of obscene and taboo words, because within a rather short space of time, different people on two different skeptical discussion forums said that Chaucer had used the word cunt, and no one said boo about this, well, except me. I did a bit of investigoogling and found, it wasn't very hard investigoogling because I went straight to Wikipedia, and I found, and probably not easy to see, but it says that the word appears several times in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales and Bawdy context, but it does not appear to be considered obscene at this point since it was used openly. And Rational Wiki says, Chaucer used the word unblushingly in his Canterbury Tales. Now, the odd thing about both the Wikipedia and Rational Wiki entries is that they both then go on to quote Chaucer not using the word fuck. I'm sorry, cunt. He didn't use fuck either, but cunt in this case. We'll get to what he actually said in a moment. But Wikipedia, interestingly, also says that cunt, quote, was used before 1230, is the first instance mentioned by the OED, having been brought over by the Anglo-Saxons, originally not an obscenity, but rather a factual name for the vulva or vagina, unquote. And that all sounds very reasonable, but they don't cite a source for it, and, you know, there's no evidence for it. But otherwise, it sounds perfectly reasonable. It's not attested in Old English. It is possible, or it's been suggested, that the word derives from, or is related to, the Old English verb cunan, which means to know, one of several words that mean to know, and cunung, meaning carnal knowledge. James MacDonald, in the Wordsworth Dictionary of Obscenity and Taboo, a great book, suggests that it might be related to the Old English word yukund, which can mean nature, race, species, kind, which is its modern descendant, as well as sex, gender, genitals, both male and female, and menstruation, and a lot of other things. It's just a word that, yeah, anything you need. Both the OED and the MED note that there are corresponding words in many other Germanic languages, including Old Norse kunta. However, a concise dictionary of Old Icelandic by Jer Zoiga doesn't include the word at all, and an Icelandic English dictionary by Richard Cleesby and Guðbrand Vigfusson, called the most comprehensive and authoritative dictionary on Old Icelandic, includes kunta, but it only defines it with the Latin word kunis and does not include any quotations. So I'm not really sure how old it actually is or how commonly it was used in Old Norse. There are also similar sounding words with similar meaning in non-Germanic Indo-European languages, including the aforementioned kunis. If we look at some of the seabirds, and there they are, there are more. It may seem plausible that many of these words are related. It may even seem obvious that many of these words must be related. However, consider that the English words kunan and kunung are not etymologically related to the Old English word yukund. And as I said before, the modern equivalent of yukund, which doesn't always have the GE in front of it, although it did in Old English. The modern equivalent of that word is kind. So to get from kind to cunt, just as far as the way the English language works, the evolution of the English language, is highly dubious. And kunan and kunung don't appear to be related to kunis, nor does kunt. So to summarize the etymology of cunt. After noting the Germanic cognates, the OED says, quote, ulterior relations are uncertain, unquote. The earliest use of the word cunt mentioned by the OED is from 1230. There was a street named Grope Cunt Lane in London. Apparently, it was even better than having a privy, they had a brothel. According to MacDonald, there are also records of personal names that incorporate the word cunt. I believe you'll enjoy these. Eventually. So, Grope Cunt Lane, the women's names Gunica Cuntless and Belle Wide Cunt. Men's names Godwin Clock Hunt, Robert Cleave Cunt, John Phil Cunt, and Simon Sit by the Cunt. Ladies, if Godwin Clawcunt or Robert Cleavekund try to friend you on Facebook, close your account, and call the authorities. Simon Sit by the Cunt is probably fine because he's just happy. He's like, oh, I'm near a cunt. I love you, Bellwide Cunt. Might be an echo. Anyway, as well as entertaining names, okay, almost done. There are also clinical uses of cunt. Lanfranc's Art of Surgery says, in women, the neck of the bladder is short and made fast to the cunt. However, there are also indications that the word was not always regarded as acceptable in the Middle English period, which brings us back to Chaucer. Again, Chaucer did not use the word cunt. The word he used was quaint, which as a noun means a clever or curious device or ornament or an elegant or pleasing thing. When used for a woman's genitalia, it's both a euphemism and a pun. It is also related to the adjective quaint, which, I mean, do keep that in mind next time you find yourself at a quaint old inn or a quaint little restaurant. And just think how happy Simon Sit by the Cunt would be were he in your party. Chaucer uses quaint several times in his earthier tales. The Miller's Tale is a fabliau, which is a bawdy comic story about a carpenter, his young wife, a young Oxford clerk who lodges with them, another clerk who's somewhat squeamish about farting. Both clerks have naughty feelings toward the young wife, and she reciprocates the lodger's lust. The tale involves adultery, farting, pissing, a badly misplaced kiss, a burning hot poker, and a rectum, and a fake deluge. One day when the carpenter is away, the lodger Nicholas begins to rage and play with Allison, the young wife. And I'll just read the translation. As clerks are very ingenious and very clever, and discreetly he caught her by the pleasing thing and said, indeed, unless I have my will, I will die for secret love of you, dear. And he held her tightly by the haunch bones. Indeed. Chaucer also uses quaint in the wife of Bath's prologue. While lecturing one of her five husbands, the wife says that as long as he has enough of what he wants, he shouldn't care what other folk get. For indeed, old dotard, by your leave, you shall have plenty of the precious thing in the evening. Later, she asks, what ails you to complain so and groan? Is it because you alone would have my precious thing? Her husbands are never alone in having her precious thing, as far as I can tell. At least not the first three old ones. A few lines later, she refers to her favorite body part as her belle chose, French for lovely thing. One of the 80-plus manuscripts of the Canterbury Tales does include one instance of cunt rather than quaint, but this is not from any of the earliest or most authoritative manuscripts. The two earliest manuscripts are in the hand of a scribe who may have actually worked for Chaucer, and neither of them use cunt. In total, the MED cites 8 uses of the word cunt, and that includes the Chaucer variant, the excerpt from the Treatise on Surgery, 2 glossaries that define Latin vulva as cunt, and like 4 more. So that's not a lot, and might suggest that the word was not entirely acceptable. MacDonald argues the cunt was used to refer to the vagina without any suggestion of vulgarity until roughly the end of the 14th century. Chaucer, who died in 1400, was therefore writing the Canterbury Tales at a time when cunts, sadly, were disappearing from polite society. Therefore, he hinted at the word without actually using it. So, to summarize, many four-letter words are of Anglo-Saxon origin, but not all of them are. Most were not considered inappropriate initially, though some, particularly fuck, and always seems to have been taboo. Taboo words tend to get replaced by euphemisms and by foreign words. In the late Middle Ages, and particularly in the classics-loving Renaissance, Latin words just seem nicer than native vernacular words. However, to me, one of the most offensive words of all is pudendum, referring to the external genitalia, particularly of lady parts. It comes from the Latin verb pudere, meaning to cause shame, and can best be translated as that of which one ought to be ashamed. A cunt's better than a pudendum any day. Thank you.
Can you tell me, or did you run upon why we, my gosh, say pussy instead?
Yeah, I didn't look up that up. Sorry. I don't know offhand.
Early on, you used fuck beggar.
Yeah.
Which I plan to add to my vocabulary.
Yeah.
What does that mean? How is it used?
I think it's a place name. Was a place name. And again, the consensus of most is that fuck it was something other than fuck. Like, I don't know, it could have been folk, something. And so it just happens to look like our word fuck actually is a different word.
I plan to use beshitten.
Yeah.
All the time.
Oh, I am beshitten. Anybody else?